in my soul as the substance of it, that I may now partake of Him as life. Not try to live it. Matthew Henry's concept here is one that really messes us up, because I'm going to tell you, if we come into this, we're going to do the thing that is the most dangerous thing we could do if we think it's a prisoner let out of jail. What are we going to do if we think that's the concept of life? We're going to go on trying to live it. Well, I'm pardoned, now I can go on and try not to get in jail again. No, His appearing is the appearing of truth. The truth. The soul coming into a face-to-face encounter with the truth. Scripture says you will know the truth. Truth will make you free. There is an absolute difference between being set free and being made free. To be set free means I'm a prisoner let out of jail. And 2 weeks later, I can go out and rob a bank and be back in jail. That's set free. Because the jail's still there, the cage is wide open, I can just walk right back into it. Made free, in scriptural terms, made free for Paul, for all of them, made free is what? I am crucified with Christ. I am dead to it. I wasn't let out. I was executed. I was done away. Reuben can't go back out and be Reuben. Now Christ lives in me. That's the life I'm talking about. That's the life I'm talking about. And that's the life that His coming is essential for. His coming isn't essential for me to try to mimic and me to try to imitate anything. I can imitate things, but that's not life. That's an imitation. And I'm sorry, wasn't it that? Well, look at this. That's me imitating Jesus. That's me being like Jesus. Christ-like. That's me. That's Christ-like for me. But is it Christ-likeness that we need, or is it Christ revealed filling our soul with the substance of Himself that we need? I read something on the internet that said, you are created to be like Jesus. Really? Let me show you what the scriptures say about me. Okay? This man, right here. God saw, Genesis 6:5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And that every imagination, hear that word, every imagination, the thoughts of his heart was only, every thought was only evil. Continually. That's man. God saw that. That's man. Every thought of his heart was evil continually. That word continually means in reality, in actuality. Not just that it happened on and on. That was it. That was how it was. That was what man was. He was evil continually. This is what man trying to be like Jesus. He can't help it. That's who he is. See, Paul said, in me I have seen, in me, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. You see this? Do you see a good thing in this? There is not a good thing in me. Well, I'm got a sweet disposition. In me dwelleth no good thing. Well, he does his best. He has good intentions. In me dwelleth no good thing. As long as I'm trying to see some good thing here, I'm not going to turn my heart to see the good thing here. Ecclesiastes 6, verse 3. If a man beget 100 children, live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good. And also, he have no burial. Burial being his rest, his putting away. I say that an untimely birth is better than he. An aborted fetus is what that means. Is better than he. If what? If his soul is not filled with good. With this man. With this good thing. Whatever things are good, holy. Think on these things. The good. This more excellent man. This in whom all excellence and fullness is found. If the soul is not filled, which is what the soul is for, created of God for, to be filled with the good, the Spirit of truth comes. For what purpose? Testify of me. He will teach you of me. He will show what is mine, show it unto you. He'll take what is mine, show it unto you. Is that just intellectual? No, that is filling my soul with who He is, the truth of who He is. My soul being filled with that good thing. My soul being filled with the excellency of the knowledge of Him. That's what my soul was created for. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown says it this way, and I like the way they translate this in their commentary on John 10:10, that they may have life, have it more abundantly. They say it this way, or rather simply, I came not to preserve a life already possessed, but to impart a life before unknown. Wow. Not to preserve a life already possessed, but to impart a life before unknown. Preserved is to keep alive, to keep from harm, to keep from injury. That's what we think salvation is. And Jesus is saying, I didn't come to preserve a life you've already got. Come to bring something you have never had. I've come to bring something you could never have, except I come. And bring it as the very substance of myself. So that's what I'm saying. We want to have righteousness on our terms, and we want to have righteousness apart from the person. We want righteousness as a thing, as an aspect. And see, the soul here, filled with the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth does not just give your soul aspects. I say, okay, now you got righteousness. Go run with it. Now you got holiness. Go run with it. Do your thing. Go be righteous. That's what we think. No, the Spirit of truth reveals the person of righteousness in me. He reveals the person of life in me. Life encompasses everything. Life encompasses everything. Life encompasses righteousness, holiness, all that He is. Life encompasses it. That's why new birth is the receiving of life. Not the ability to do, but the person who is. The person who is salvation. The person who is righteous. Oh, you mean I get Nicodemus? You mean I'm going back into my mother's womb and be born again? No, Nicodemus. Flesh begets flesh. Only the Spirit can bring forth that which is Spirit. See what I'm saying? This is a Nicodemus complex here. Me, born again, me, better, me, gonna do good works for Jesus. God give me a second chance at goodness. Second chance at being right. Second chance. No. When did salvation ever become a second chance? He's not telling Nicodemus, okay, Nicodemus, you got to be born again, so I'm going to give you a second chance. He says, Nicodemus, you must be born from above. That which is from above must be birthed in you. That which is eternal must be born and birthed in you. Not you, Nicodemus, that I'm after. It's not you that's going to see the kingdom and be the kingdom. Unless I am birthed in you, you can't even see the kingdom. You can't know the kingdom. Because I am the kingdom. I am the seeing of the kingdom. Unless I'm there. Unless I come and dwell in you. That is new birth. It is the coming of the Lord. It is the coming of the Lord dwelling in me. The coming of the Lord in me. That's new birth. And from that point on, it is the ever-coming one being revealed in me. It never goes beyond that. It never goes beyond the revealing of Christ. It never goes beyond the coming, the appearing of the Lord. It is always in His appearing these things are found. In His coming. We won't go into all that, but He says, the grace that shall be brought to you, what? At the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you can go on. Martha had her concept and understanding of resurrection. But when did the truth come? When did the truth of resurrection come? When He came and declared Himself, I am the resurrection. Not only that, I am the life. Martha, I'm not just the one who raises them up. I am their raising up. Not only that, when they're raised, I'm their life. I'm the life of that which is raised up. Because only that which is raised up is only that which lives by me. That's what we see in the picture of Revelation chapter 1. A people in the midst of the Son of Man. One likened to the Son of Man standing in the midst of the golden candlesticks. And Daniel's been doing study on this of the golden candlesticks and the garments of the high priest, the garments of this man. But what is it going to say when he sees this one? And see, he doesn't describe any aspect of the candles. He describes the one who is their identity. The one in whom they live and are found. He describes that man. He says, I fell at his feet and he said, I am the living. This is how the literal translation says it. I am the living one. Not I am he that liveth among others. No, I am the one who lives. These are they that live by me. They live by me. He sees a people bound up in the only one who lives. The only one who remains, the I am. Let me just say that. Let me go back. Genesis 6, when we read that, the wretchedness of man, that man was evil continually. The wickedness of man is actually, that word is 7451 in the Strong's. It means wretchedness. When I saw that definition, here's Paul in Romans 7. All wretched man that I am. Why? Because you did some bad things? No, I'm trying to do good things. You're not wretched because of what you do. You do what you do because you're wretched. All wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. And then Romans 8 is just a continuation of that letter. Now there is no condemnation. This man in Romans 7 was in total condemnation because he was trying to live a natural life spiritually. He was trying to be spiritual. Trying to do the things of God instead of God living and dwelling in him. But he says now, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed me from the law of sin and death. See, what did it take for Paul? Just doing better things? No, because he was doing the best things that he could do and was still condemned by them. Why? Because as long as a man lives, he's under the law. what had to take place in Paul's heart. He went from wretched man to saying, I'm free by the law of the Spirit of life. What had happened? The law of the Spirit of life is just another way of saying the life of the Spirit is in me, dwelling, living. That life frees me from the law of sin and death. Why? Why does it do that? Because it's not me living. I said one time that as long as a man lives, he is under the law. Or the Scriptures say that. And the Lord dealt with me one time coming down the road, going to a class, and He said, yes, if he lives the first time or the second time. And that's me, trying to live a second time, trying to live beyond the cross. If I still live beyond the cross, I'm condemned by the law every time. But Paul, coming to this encounter with Jesus Christ, says, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Why? Because now we live by a life where there is no condemnation. Now we live by a life. What does it say about the fruit of this fruit of the Spirit? At the end of the list here, against such there is no law. Law can't condemn that man because that man fulfills the law. That life, that nature fulfills it. Can't condemn him. He's fulfilled it, and in fulfilling it, abolished it. That's what Paul had to come to, another life. And now he says, now the one that's in me, now the righteousness of the law can be fulfilled in me. Why? Because the one who fulfills the law, the one who is the righteousness God has always demanded, dwells in me. He lives. Not me. Christ lives in me. That they may have. I want to, just on that little phrase, and then I'll be done. I want to just concentrate on that little phrase, that they might have. I pretty well thought it was just basically saying that they can have this. But it means so much more. It's 21:92, and it is that they may have. That whole phrase is one word. And it's 21:92 in the Strong's. It means to recognize something as being what it truly is. To acknowledge. I am come that they may know life truly. That they may know that life is me. What it truly is. Not just to walk around, breathe, and do good works. No, that they may know me as life. That they may have life. That they may acknowledge life as being who I am. Colossians 2 goes into this. Colossians 2 verses 2 and 3. Paul says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father, even Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In whom are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Hidden. Hidden what? Just like I said earlier, hidden from the natural man. Hidden from that natural mind that wants to get these things and know these treasures of wisdom and knowledge by natural means. It's hidden from them. It is the same thing where it talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. That His ways and judgments are past finding out. Something I can't know. It's something that He must be revealed as the substance of in me. I can't know it. I can't understand it until I come. Until I am comes. Until He comes and is revealed in me as the very substance of it. And not only that, but I partake of Him as the very substance of it. Because we'll see here in this next definition, this is from the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. It says here, above all, this term denotes fellowship that they may have. Above all, theologically he's talking, above all, it denotes fellowship. And it goes on, there is with this participation a pure having, which is here understood in terms of a mystical fellowship or a spiritual fellowship. It's not me having this cup in my hand. It denotes much more than that. See, we think of salvation and all these aspects of salvation, if you want to call it that, we think of it just Jesus giving me a new shiny cup of coffee. Well, he's giving me a fresh cup of coffee today because he's giving me this. And that's what we think. No, I am come is essential to this. I am come is the necessity of this. Why? Because it denotes fellowship with the I Am. It denotes fellowship with Him who is ever coming. For me to know righteousness, to know life, to know anything of spiritual fullness, let me read what I wrote here. This having of life and all things of spiritual fullness and substance, of which life is inclusive, is contingent for us upon one thing. It is not the doing of things or the lack of doing of things. Because we don't just start doing good things. We try to stop doing bad things. This person told me, said, well, I flushed my marijuana down the toilet when I got saved. I said, well, that's good. But until you come to see Christ, all you've got is wet marijuana. I mean, basically. I mean, if that's the definition that it's always going to be, is me getting rid of bad things and then compiling new things, better things, you're going to be in a constant cycle of getting rid of bad things and getting new things, because there is there's a bottomless pit of bad things for me to get rid of. All of a sudden, eventually, you're going to realize I'm going to have to get hold of my pants and my shirt and just throw me out with it. I've got to go. Not the things, me. Not the pot, me. When I'm gone, pot's gone. The having of all things pertaining unto life and godliness is contingent upon an abounding and ongoing relationship or fellowship with the ever-coming Christ as the very substance of all spiritual things. It's an ongoing relationship. For me to have what is now in me, I'm not saying these things are not in us, but for me to have it in this context and this definition, for me to have it, to participate in it, to acknowledge it as being what it really and truly is, there must of necessity be an ongoing an abounding relationship with Him who is the substance of all things, the person of all spiritual fullness. It's a fellowship. It's a relationship. I had in here 1 John 5:11 in the Young's Literal Translation. I love the way this is said because it says this beautifully. This is the testimony. Speaking of life here. This is the testimony. Life, age enduring, or life eternal, did God give to us. See, not that He's going to give us eternal life. God has given us life, eternal. And this, the life, is in His Son. He who is having the Son hath life. He who is not having the Son of God, the life he hath not. See how it said there? Having. Not just who has. Well, I have Jesus. I got Him 30 years ago. Are you having Him? Are you having Him? Is He being revealed on a constant, ongoing basis? as the substance of all things spiritual. He that is having the Son hath life. And you can put, instead of life, you can have every other thing. Peace, love, joy. He's having, because he's having the one in whom these things are found. He's having the one who is the substance of it. And that's why I say the essential element is I am come. And a relationship that is stemmed upon that coming, ongoing, abounding in my soul of the ever coming one. May our hearts turn to see Him. That the truth, that my soul, that our souls may be confronted with truth. Not my concept of what righteousness or life is, because that's what we live on. No, I'm talking about truth coming and bringing a judgment, not just to my concept, but to me. But see, because I live off that concept, and because of my concept, I go out and do. And because I go out and do, I finally begin to think I am. So eventually, I'm not just doing things that I think are righteous, I am presenting myself to God because of those things as righteous. So the truth is not just, it doesn't just take away my concept, it takes me away. It takes me out of the picture altogether. And then my soul is just knowing Him. The excellency of knowing Him. So, we'll stop there. Amen.